to become a proactive Christian. And I want to ask you the question carefully to see if you remember, what are the three things that the Bible encourages to do to experience the blessings of a proactive Christian?
Pray.
Very good.
Read the Bible.
Very good.
Service.
And then service. Live the Bible. Prayer is a gift. It's power. The Bible said that, but the devil knows that. Prayer is the power that unlocked the windows of heaven. The power that allowed God to come and take control of our lives. However messy it may be, whatever our needs are, prayer allowed the Holy Spirit to take control and Jesus to become Lord and the devil become defeated. And because the devil knows the power of prayer, he has been successful in bringing so many things in our life to make it difficult for us to pray, including the issue of great guilt and shame. That I'm a sinner and God wants me to be righteous. I'm not righteous, therefore I'm not going to pray. No. That's the reason why Jesus came, and that's the reason why Jesus said, pray and come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You cannot give yourself rest. I will give you rest. And be rest assured that my blood is sufficient for you. Also, the devil can't bring all of concerns of work and money and friends and relatives and parties and everything else. That our mind be so preoccupied and our body becomes so tired that we don't have the time to pray. So while the gift of prayer is the power and it is a gift, it's nothing for us to pay. It is sometimes and often for Christians the most difficult decision, because they allow the enemy to take control of their heart and mind and soul. Therefore, salvation is a choice. An abundant life on earth is a choice. It's nothing that Christ is going to impose upon us, but he's calling upon us to receive that abundant life through prayer. Secondly, the Word of God. You know, all of the prophets and all of the apostles and some of our great presidents and leaders of the world have been influenced by the living Word of God. We have heard the words of President Abraham Lincoln and Benjamin Franklin. All of these people have acknowledged in their memoir how they were influenced by the living Word of God and how they spent tremendous amount of prayer to lead the affairs of this nation. And David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. We make a minimum 5,000 to 10,000 decisions a day. Imagine when we make those decisions without prayer and without the word of God. What we seed is what we will reap. Eventually, those decisions will come to find us later. Isn't it better to have Jesus as your Lord and partner in all decisions? You will escape great many traps and you will avoid great many suffering just by asking him to be Lord and Savior over your life every day. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. There is no one that is righteous. But I came to seek and find the lost. And he said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. The word of God is a wonderful knowledge of life. It's called the living word. By it, we can live, move, and find our being. By it, we can heal from the inside out. By it, we can receive the power to tread over the serpent and the scorpions and all the powers of the enemy with the promise of Jesus that nothing shall anywise harm us. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the power of God. But also, the devil knows that. And so he does everything possible to take the desire out of our heart for the Word of God. We are able to sit down and read newspapers every day or other magazine, whatever it may be. Our minds seem to be at ease with that. And we can read books so we can pass the tests. But as to 5 to 10 to 15 minutes reading the living words of God that really brings about great comfort and hope and strength for the day, for some reason we don't have it. Why? Because the devil knows that. It is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth. That's why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. So anyone who will embark on reading the word of God will receive the power thereof. And it will come very handy in decision making. Very handy. I watched a TV channel in Arabic called Life. The founders of the TV channel, all of them are converted Muslims into Christianity. Wow. It's amazing.
Wow.
And I couldn't help. I was in tears. Listening to all of these people who were once Muslims, now ministering the love of Jesus and the power of the Word of God to the Muslim world.
Wow.
And they happened to interview a gentleman who was a Muslim extremist in the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And he told his story about how he was a devout Muslim and he learned the Quran. And he believed with all of his heart that the Christian and the Jews are infidels. And the Bible is a corrupted book. And he was trained and he was sent to school to get his doctorate in Islam so he can go and fight the Christian world. Very highly educated. And then he said, okay, in order for me to really prove all of these Christians wrong, I got to know what they believe in from their Bible. Now I know everything about the Quran. I'm going to go and embark on a journey to study the Bible so I can find all of the pitfalls and the errors so I can go and convert the Christians into Islam. And he said, the first night I went to read this Bible, my hand was trembling because I believed it was an unholy book. I did not want to touch it. And then he said, I went and I prayed to Allah. And I said, dear God of all light and knowledge and wisdom, you protect me from any error in this book. And help me to find the errors that I may do good unto thee to change the heart and mind and soul of many Christians into Islam. And of course, in Islam they believe if you convert a Christian, you have lots of rewards in heaven.
Wow.
And I'm not going to talk about those rewards today. But he went and he said, I began to study the Gospels. Because in my argument with other Christians in the past, they always refer to the Gospels. He said, I went to study the Gospels. And I ran across Isa, Jesus. And I said, something went wrong in my heart. All of these years, I had a certain perception of Jesus of Christianity. That he is only a prophet and not the Son of God.
Right.
And cannot be God incarnate. And he told the story that as I began to read, something began to happen and my heart began to change. Something beyond me.
Wow.
And I closed that Bible immediately. And I left it. And I began to question myself, why do I feel that way? Why do I think that way?
Wow.
And I left it for a few hours. And I began to worry about what will other people think if they saw me reading the Bible. What about if my brother walked in and I am so deeply involved, even emotionally, in the Word of God. It's so captivating. And he said, at night, I went to pray again. And I pleaded with God that he protect me from any errors of this book. And to make the story short, he said, the more I read about Jesus and his life, the more I could not leave the Bible alone.
Wow.
I said, I would read the chapters, and I would read them again, and I find my heart and mind and soul completely changing. And then he reached the point of praying in Jesus' name. And he said, I prayed in Jesus' name for the first time to see if it is true. And a miracle only God can perform happened right before me. And this is when I came to the most difficult decision. Should I choose Jesus or all of my family and put my life at risk for death? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth, to the Jew, also to the Muslim, also to the Buddhist, also to the Greeks. And today the gentleman is part of that channel.
Wow.
He said that once his family began to know that he is studying Christianity, and he stopped. That's the whole thing. He stopped attacking Christians when before that they got used to him. He would go to the mosque and educate others about the follies of this heathen called the Christians. He stopped going to the mosque to pray. And his family and friends began to know about it. And he began to write a diary as to how Jesus answered his prayer. And to his bad luck and yet great fortune, one of his friends recognized that he began to change into Christianity. And he went to his apartment when he was out and found the diary. How he was indeed acknowledging Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he took the diary to his family. And the one night when he was asleep, knocked the door, and a bunch of them walked in, grabbed him out of his own apartment, took him out in the street and gave him a very good beating, and told him, this is your final chance to go back to your consensus.
Wow.
Because it is justified in Islam that if someone convert to Christianity, his blood is okay.
Wow.
And at that time, he decided to make the most difficult decision, to forsake family and friends and country, and to leave the country so he can become a Christian. And when he was on TV, he's saying, I am looking for a Christian church to baptize me. Now, my brothers and sisters, isn't that a crisis in the Christian church today? That Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists are being converted and Christians are forsaking the living word of God? Why is that? Because Jesus told us the prophecy that the devil at the end of time will work over time to deceive even the very elect. The word of God is the living word. Proactive Christian will reap all the rewards and the blessings of faith in Jesus' name and will be blessed by the word of God, because this knowledge of God will turn into wisdom. And the reason I spend longer time on that issue today, because it's going to come in the social characteristics of the reactive Christians. That they do have knowledge and they are high achievers, yet they are very unwise. And of course, when you receive the power of prayer and when you experience the power of the gospel and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should become like this converted Muslim. We should put it into work. We should use the living word to bring life and blessing unto others, because that is how it grows. If you only live around yourself, and you become self-centered like most people. I rise up in the morning to go to work or to go to school. I want to earn a living to pay all of my bills. I'm a good person. I'm not going to harm anybody. And I want to spend the time watching TV or doing other things on this world. But I don't have time to really spend time with Jesus or to use the blessings to bless other people. Self-centeredness is self-destruct, and in time. It's also family-destruct. All of the families that are having problems today, whether they're Christian or not Christian, it's because of that issue. Life evolves around me. Not that I am part of the world and I have to adapt to this mammoth universe. And there is a purpose for me to play to affect human lives in many heavenly ways. No, everything evolves around me. A proactive Christian, pray, get knowledge, and live the blessings of this knowledge, as we have examined this morning. You give of yourself to others not because you expect something in return. That is the philosophy of the whole world. That's not true. In Christianity, your heart is full, your mind is full, your blessings are abounding, and you are driven by love to give to others without expecting anything back in return. Whether they say thank you or not, you already have obtained your reward. And it is sad because due to the sickness of love, all of us learned in order to feel loved and accepted and approved of, we have to behave in a certain way and give something to receive something. No. We have been loved. We are loved. Unconditionally. And if we pray, we experience the power of that love. When we ask and seek and knock, if we read the Word of God, the Lord will show us the example of great many people in the Bible whose life have been changed and transformed regardless of what their sinful condition was and how God used them for their blessing, the blessing of their families, the blessing of their communities, of His church, and of the world. So we are to live the abundant life if we live our faith toward others. We are not going to become perfect till Jesus comes. But His own perfection will continue to work in us, His own goodwill and pleasure. Spiritual characteristics, you don't want to be that way. Unfortunately, many Christians become that way. They have a reactive life of prayer. Pray only when necessary. And we have already examined the outcome of that. It is disastrous. We need to avoid that. They do not seek the knowledge of God unless in desperate condition. We have seen what happened to the prophet Jonah. Read the story again. Also, do not exercise godliness unless they feel compelled to. The story of Saul, who have eventually became Paul. We don't want to do that. Because we forfeit great many blessings and we incur great many suffering and losses. When we invest in ourselves, not in Christ and His people. Next slide, please. The social characteristic of reactive Christians. We told you about some of their social aspect. I hope if we are reactive Christian that we have made the choice to kind of recover from that, because the world is going through crisis. Major crisis. And we ought to be strong enough as proactive Christian in order to be able to stand, Jesus said, stand the wiles of the devil. They are problem fighters. They actually fight truth until they are slammed with a serious circumstances. Okay? They are problem fighters like Saul. They are problem causers and potentially problem solvers. You see, here's the wonderful thing about that. Jesus is Savior all the time. The Lord is always trying to save His children from their sin, from themselves, from Satan's control all the time. Whether they are proactive, reactive, or inactive. But the question is, how much suffering and losses His children will incur before they reach the point of salvation. I'm very thankful for Nicodemus. All of the Pharisees and the high priest were going to church. Very active member of God's Sanhedrin and church. But they were reactive. They really did not believe in Jesus. And they used His word in a corrupt way to satisfy the needs of the flesh. As to Nicodemus, he came by night inquiring, what can I do that I am missing in my life to inherit eternal life. And Jesus told him he needed to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He asked and he found. He knocked and the door was opened unto him. And I'm very thankful that he became a disciple of Jesus and was important during the time of the crucifixion. So, from a reactive, he became proactive. And I praise God for that. Social characteristics of reactive Christians, they are very sincere, but often sincerely wrong. Self-righteous and self-absorbed, they have a zeal, but not according to heavenly knowledge. Very much Pharisees. Many people in the church are inflicted with that disease. They think because they do a little bit more in church, or they go to Bible study, or they know the Bible a little bit more, then they can tell everyone else how to live their life. And boy, if you try to correct them, you get fire and brimstone. You know, all instructions and all gifts administered to God's people should be carried by the deepest sense of humility and the sincerest form of love. I reserve all help and all counseling unless people ask, seek, and knock, because I don't want to come through as the guy who knows it all, or the guy who wants to influence other people's life in his own way. I follow the patterns of Jesus. Ask, seek, and knock. You see, it's better for people to come and ask rather than go and tell them how to live their lives. That is the zeal that not according to knowledge. You know, a servant of God knows that he is very finite and very limited. She is very finite and very limited. All of us are fragile. All of us have been victimized. All of us have victimized others in one form or another. All of us are struggling sinners. All of us in need for God's love and daily portion of grace and mercy. All of us have to deal with each other in the same form of honor. We don't need to become reactive Christian, because they stumble great many people and discourage great many people from following Jesus. Because who wants to be such a Christian? That gentleman up there in Norway who blew up the buildings, killed so many people, and went and killed so many people who were just there. He claimed that he is protecting Christianity of Islam. Did you hear that story?
Yeah.
A gentleman completely under the control of Satan. Mm-hmm. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what Saul, the Pharisee, did. He went to kill the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking he was doing God a favor. They have knowledge and zeal, but not according to the knowledge of God. Number three, resistant until cornered or forced by harsh events. And we see that in the life of the people in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. They began to cry out, okay, Noah, we really got the message after 120 years of preaching that God is about to send the flood. Many of these people really helped Noah build the ark. Many of them helped Noah build the ark. And they profited and made some money to make a living. And they heard them preach day and night about the Lord is about to send a flood to destroy the earth. And yet, they received the knowledge and they did not react to the knowledge in a faithful way.
Inhale and exhale.
Very good. And when the flood came and the ark was completed and Noah and his family went in and all the animals, and when the door was shut and the rain began to pour, some still doubted it is just another rain. But when the fountain of the earth and everything began to cover the earth, they began to remember the words of God through Noah, and they began to run and knock at the door of the ark. Open, Noah, we believe now. Open, we believe. Noah was a good man. was a compassionate man, was a loving man, and I am very sure he wanted to open that door of the ark, but there were two angels there. He would do that. And that is really the key. That is the key. Many Christians believe that they can live any way they want to. And somehow, in time of major crisis, mom or dad will come through. Or perhaps the pastor is going to come through. Or the church may come through. You know, many a times I've seen that with my eyes. It does not work. It just does not work. It is not that mom and dad or the church or anyone wish you harm to suffer. That's not true. But at that moment, God make everyone else disabled to help. You got to go through the experience so your heart and mind can be changed. Perhaps the only thing left in the life at this time is salvation and eternal life. And I see that in the hospital all the time. At times God heal and restore miraculously. At times the Lord allow simple disability. And at times the Lord allow people to rest after they have given the heart and mind and soul fully to Him. Resisted until corner or force for harsh events. And we've seen that in the story of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we've seen last week how Lot's wife, her heart was not in salvation and deliverance. The knowledge was given to Lot by the two angels, when you leave, don't look back. Well, the man, as struggling as he was, and his two daughters as struggling as they were not perfect people and they were not righteous people. But they believed and they behaved and left and did not look back. The wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Therefore, when God delivers us from our sins and our past and all of the suffering that we could not have survived, and began to give us a new heart, a new mind, a brand new life of blessing, why do we want to look back to that life? You know, every day, because I'm not sure, I try the best I can to follow the path of righteousness, but every day I examine myself and I find myself falling short. And therefore, I can never trust myself. But daily, I trust my life the way it is to Christ. It is safe. Even if you think you may not be going the right direction, it is always good to pray. Always good to stay proactive. Express your fears to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just believe a lie. And we're going to study that today. Do not believe a lie. The truth is the truth. And Jesus said, "Oh, the truth. And it will set you free." Free from what? From sin and the suffering you cannot see. Okay? And Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, it shall be at the end of days." I pray that you and I are like Noah and his family, like Lot and his two daughters. Struggling, sinners, whoever we may be, let us be very faithful and true. Let us pray, let us praise, let us worship, let us read His word and believe it and desire in our heart to live it through the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Number four, dependent and interdependent on others for survival and approval. We covered that last week. The story of the 10 virgins. The 10 of them believed in the word of God. That's the church. The 10 of them believed that the bridegroom will come. And the 10 of them wanted to be ready when the bridegroom comes in an unknown time. And the 10 of them believed that they have to take their lamps and they have to have enough oil and to keep it burning. So all of them got the knowledge right. All of them had the right desire. All of them were equipped. But here's the mistake. 5 of them recognize that they need to carry extra oil with them. And the other 5 thought, "I think the bridegroom delayed already before and delayed for a long time. I think I have enough for today. And if I need it, perhaps tomorrow I'll go and shop for more. And what happened? The midnight cry. All of them were asleep. All the 10 were asleep. But some were asleep with complete readiness and some were not. Don't go to bed without prayer. I know the devil sometimes makes us so tired by everything else that we go to crash. You know, how about if Jesus came at that night? And you did not cleanse the pot. You did not ask for forgiveness. You did not purify the heart and mind and soul. You did not consecrate your life to Him. How about if that was the last prayer that you needed? Wow. And how about if the devil wanted to harm you during that night? And you did not surrender to the protective custody to Jesus. And so, when the midnight cry came and they said, the bridegroom is here. Everyone get up. 5 of them had enough oil for the rest of the journey. The other 5 ran out of oil. And they went to those who have and said, can you please lend us some of your oil? And the other 5, they were not mean. No, they were not mean. They were very loving. But they were also very truthful. They said, we're so sorry. We only have oil enough to get us there. If we give you some of this oil, neither one of us will make it there. And that is what I'm talking about. No mother, no father, no sister, no brother can save us from our own choices. All of us have been given the opportunity to pray, to get His word, and to let Jesus help us make wise decisions on earth. The oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit should always be in our heart to convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, to convict us of God's love and forgiveness, and to help us. It is the work of sanctification, believing in Jesus and His precious blood, and His sacrifice, and His death, and His resurrection as a way for the remission of our sins is justification to become the children of God. Justification to begin a race, to start to walk the road. But the work of sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit that complete and perfect the character of Christ in us, and that is the work of a lifetime. The Holy Spirit come upon our heart when we pray. So obviously, if we lagged and if we neglected prayer, what's going to happen? That voice of conviction will slowly die. The light will go down. The word of God will not have an effect because we are not going to remember it. Because Jesus said, it is the Holy Spirit who will guide you unto all truth and remind you of the things I taught you. And that's where the oil comes from. We cannot live only by the prayer of others. We have to have our own life of prayer. So we don't want to be caught in that very difficult situation like the 5 foolish Pharisees. And the last thing we're going to be discussing here about the reactive Christian, that they are very worldly knowledgeable and high achievers, yet trouble-hearted and unfulfilled, lack true wisdom. And I ran into many of them, and I was one of them. I'm still recovering from that. They are very knowledgeable. Look at the Pharisees. Very knowledgeable, high achievers. But they are counting on their own knowledge, on their own understanding, on their own righteousness. They are not counting on the strength of Christ. They are not counting on prayer. They are not really following the word of God. They are not implementing the words of God in their choices and decision. Therefore, they lack wisdom. Remember what Solomon said, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And those of you who came to Bible study, what is the fear of the Lord? It is the love of the Lord. The love of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you have the knowledge that God loved you and came to this earth to save you, and He is able to be your Lord and Savior not once in a lifetime, but every day, to provide all of your needs according to His riches glory, to protect you from the wiles of the devil, then you will choose to pray. You will not be afraid to read His word. You are not to be too lazy to read His word. You know, when someone we like sends us a text, what do? We immediately read it and go to respond to it. When we look at our emails and see an email coming from someone we really like, what do?
Reading.
We don't delay. We delay in the Bible for two reasons. We don't think God loves us, and we don't love God. It's a very harsh conclusion. You see the difference there? You read certain books, you like for certain authors. I do that. I have many of them at home. But my greatest book and my greatest author is the Word of God. So really, as we examine our life, why we are not reading the Bible? Because we do not love the author as we ought to. And it's simply because we have not experienced the love of Jesus in a personal way as we ought to. You know who reads the Bible the most and pray the most? Those who are going through severe affliction. They cherish that. Do we have to come to this point?
No.
To really recognize that the Bible is a living treasure. And there's power in prayer. Let's open our Bibles together to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let us read more about wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 18 to 21. So we can be not just knowledgeable, but wise. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Those are heavy words of wisdom. The Bible is wonderful to teach us the joy, the blessing, and the power of humility. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may become wise. So Jesus is teaching us through His own word that we can become wise when we realize how foolish we are. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I am a fool in many different ways. And that is why I need a Savior every day, who is all wise, to guide me unto all truth. And unto all decisions, because I can be easily deceived. You know, you make financial decisions and you make social decisions, academic decisions. Do you really have all the knowledge to make all the right decisions? Sometimes we do. You know, lately I've been trying to see if I can get an additional line of phone for Esther. And I have been trying to get knowledge. And trust me, I did not stop from praying. And I talked to 5 people already from T-Mobile. And guess what? Every one of them is giving me different knowledge. They're all working for the same company. And every one of them is trying to see what they can get out of me. And I would smile and laugh. Because God gave me discernment. That now I can discern truth from lies. And that is because of prayer. Now, if I really wanted to get a line quickly, I can, like many others, deceive myself into believing a lie. Because I want it very badly, I convince myself I am going to get a great deal. And I make my first call, and the salesman or the saleswoman were very good to sell it to me, and I would go unlock the deal right away. And the Bible said, don't deceive yourself, that you are so wise in the things of this world. It is better to recognize that you're a fool in order to begin to be wise. And I did not close the deal yet. Yesterday, I thought I'm getting very close. Because finally now, the Lord is unveiling the right truth. And I'm not ready to make the decision yet. I'm going to continue to pray. Why? Because God sees everything I cannot see now and in the future. I take Him as my Lord and partner, the author of my decision. It is safe. So let us say, after all of this prayer, and after all of this time and knowledge, I made the choice. I recognized later it was not the best choice. God have taught me something, and there's more than that. Because He was my partner, He's going to come through for me. The losses and the suffering is not going to be as severe. That is the importance of prayer. That is the importance of prayer. So here it is. Say, don't be like those kind of reactive Christians. Okay? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I just shared with you about this physicist, the scientist who is paralytic, who just made his last presentation for Discovery. And most of the people who were going to see that lecture on TV, all of them believed that he is going to prove through science that God is real. And by the first sentences, I discerned right away that this man have deep resentment and anger toward God. And he's going to try to use the philosophy and the wisdom of this world to disprove that God exists. Wow. What is the study of science anyway? Study of matters and things, right? How do things come about? And scientists spend tremendous amount of time studying every little thing, trying to understand how things came about. And then they make their own hypothesis and they make a conclusion. That conclusion is not conclusive, never conclusive, because it changes. With the evolver of science, hypothesis change and conclusion change. And all scientists know you should never engage into studying an unknown phenomenon. But this scientist, who is a physicist, could have left completely the path of science. And began to put some slides about the stars and about the little molecules and everything. And he began to kind of did a very good job about capturing the eyesight of the listener and make himself sound very knowledgeable. Very knowledgeable. And he has written so many books. And you can see nothing but internal conflict. He was saying this and then saying that. And at the end of the conclusion, he said, I'm sorry to offend anybody, but I don't believe that there is a God. And I don't believe that there is a life after. It is like a child. If you listen to the lecture and really analyze it, it's like a child trying to reason, I think I know how to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then it makes sense. And you follow through fine. But if we don't understand the psychology of mankind, then he went this way. I think because I know how to count, 1, 2 plus 2 may become 6. And many people can be deceived by that kind of process of thinking. And after he did that, he said, I think 2 plus 2 can become 6 because I have done the analysis. And his conclusion was, if you believe that the banana is yellow, it's a matter of perception. 2 mutually exclusive topics. Wow. Did you see that? And I'm very thankful for the panel that came after. They had another scientist in the panel, of course, a newscaster. And had a certain man who is not a Christian. He is a scientist. And he studied the philosophy of science. And then they had a theologian there. They asked the scientist first, what do you think about what your colleague have said? He said, you know, we should all be free to study everything about science and to reach our own conclusion. So he asked the second man, who is neither a Christian nor really one of those deep scientists, what do you think of that? And this man was very wise. He said, you know, science is not the study of God. And all scientists know that. He has gone completely out of the way to take two things that they not mix and try to mix it together. So he's lost his scholarship as a scientist, trying to use science to reach a complete different conclusion. But I loved what the theologian had said. He said that science is the study of things and matter. It's not the study of God. Theology is the study of God. And he said, you know, we as Christians value science tremendously, because they are really trying to examine everything at sea, everything on ground, everything in the heaven, trying to understand how it all came about. And for us, it is really simple. It was not a big bang that brought everything about. It was a great God that brought everything about. As to whether we believe in God or not, that is a personal decision, and that's what our Savior has given us. Choose ye this day whom you believe in. They have great knowledge, highly achiever, yet trouble-hearted, unfulfilled, and lack wisdom. You know, this gentleman will be able to influence some lives. Which lives will he influence? Are those who do not want to believe in God, those who are troubled-hearted, don't want to go about it the heavenly ways, and those who are confused about who they are and what life is all about. But to those who are proactive Christians, this will also only cement the very knowledge of God. For the Bible said, knowledge shall increase, and man shall run to and fro. The Bible said that. And he said at the end of time, there's going to be a great famine in the world, not for bread and water, but for the word God. And they shall run from the east to the west, and they shall not find it. What are you doing with the word of God every day? What are we doing with it? What we got is what we're going to stay with us. So the Bible is saying that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with him. You know, I feel so bad, because the man was paralytic. He can't even talk.
That's why he's very bitter.
He was talking with an internal device.
That explains the situation. He's very bitter towards God because his disability.
And I was praying for him when he was speaking.
Wow.
That's the difference. That's the difference between people who have the Spirit of God in and people who don't have the Spirit of God in. I have seen many people like Elizabeth and Bea and Sandra and Dane, even in wheelchairs. You cannot tell they're in wheelchairs. Why? The Spirit of God in them is making them a full living entity with a divine purpose to bless us, to bless their families, and to bless others. And they have their life testimony. Physical disabilities is designed to give us greater abilities that we do not have.
Appreciation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's continue here. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. It's very important to know that. Stay away from, I want to be knowledgeable and high achiever, yet I lack wisdom in decisions. And it's quite sad, because many Christians are locked into my self-identity and my self-esteem is attached to achievements. I was one of those. I've done very well at it till the Lord broke me free from it. I live every day, one day at a time. I live the highest potential God has given me in using every gift, every knowledge, every blessing he has given me, and sharing it in all wisdom with those whom he brings my way. That is the highest achievement. You pray, you receive knowledge, you receive blessings. Okay, how can you apply it in your life decisions? And the Lord has been very, very gracious to me. Now, when you look at the life of Solomon very quickly, in, I believe, 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, when God told Solomon, go ahead, ask anything that you want, I'll give it to you because I made that promise to your father David. So he told Solomon, ask for anything. What did Solomon ask for?
Wisdom.
Very good. Very good. Listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. This is something we should be praying for every day. Because of this 5 to 10,000 decision a day. Many of this decision we are not conscious of. And many of this decision we are conscious of. Just sitting here to the, in the sanctuary, looking and listening, you are entering into so many decisions silently. You are listening to so much information. You are processing information. You are making choices and discernment in your own mind as to your life, past, present, and to come. Many decisions going on. Solomon wrote and said, the Bible said, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Wow. I was asked that question when I was a child. If the magician came and asked you to ask for anything with the magic lantern, what would you ask? I immediately hit gold. Said, if I can just have $1 million, I'll take care of my problem, my family's problem, and everybody else's problems. As a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I have forsaken childish things. Money does not give life. And so he was asked, go ahead, Solomon, ask. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God Almighty, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Lord, I have thousands of decisions to make every day. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemy, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will also give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the king have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. You see, it is wisdom that leads to knowledge, honor, and life. And the fundamental base of wisdom is humility. Is humility. So Solomon asked for that kind of wisdom. The knowledge of God is the light. The decisions we make through the knowledge of God is wisdom. And because all of us are human beings, we cannot always be wise. The all-wise God is able to perfect that in us if we pray for it. You know, we're going to be making lots of choices and decisions. And we as human beings are always very short-sighted. Very short-sighted. I want to conclude with a story about a man who lost his job and came close to lose his home. He has a wife and 3 children. And this man was devoted. He was active in church. He believed in prayer. He came to Bible study and he asked everyone to pray for him that he is losing his house. He needs a job. And he has been trying to be faithful to the Lord and he was wrestling with the decision. And he said, I have 3 interviews coming up. And he said, one of those jobs is really what I desire. And the Lord said, he pray and he will give you the desire of your heart. And he really focused so mightily on that job. And he went to the interview. And they set another interview with him. And he came to Bible study and he said, pray for me again. I'm very close. That job will bail me out and save me and save my home and my family. And people prayed along with him. And he was denied the job. And he came the following week in Bible study, very low and down. And he said, I don't know why. What else I could do? You said, pray. I prayed, Lord. I believe in your promises and I claim your promises. And he got accepted by another job that paid less. Does not hold the same prestige. And wisely, his wife advised him to take it. He said, just go ahead and take it since nothing else is available.
Right.
And he did go and accepted the job. But you can tell it was really a letdown. And he continued to work and he began to like his job. And he began to like the challenges it offers and the long-term prospects there. About 2 months later, the company that he wanted to work for began to close its door. Even though it looked like a great prospect, a big company, it offers everything. God sees what you and I cannot see. And if we trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, if we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will establish our going. And then in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, the last verse it says, and be not wise in your own eyes, fear God and depart from evil. If you pray for the control of heaven, all things, good and evil, all things shall work together for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to His purpose. This is my prayer for you and me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, blessed Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord, Holy Spirit of the living God, we pray that you take over the past, the present, and our future. Take over our heart and mind and souls. And may you take the reins of our lives and guide us in all decisions. Give us the joy, the need, and help us to experience the power of prayer every day. Encourage our heart and help us to overcome the enemy that we may spend time listening to your blessed voice, speaking to us words of knowledge and life unto wisdom from your word. And I pray, dear God, that you save us from all evil and that you fight our every battle against the adversary. And may your wisdom preserve us as we walk and run the race in the straight and narrow path of life and unto life eternal. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.